Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. And welcome back to CPA Spotlight, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. The debate rages on. Should there be a separate set of reporting standards outside of GAAP for private companies? Now, we've been talking about this for ages now, but a couple of recent developments have brought this issue to what Judy O'Dell calls a tipping point. Judy is an MACPA member. More importantly, she is chair of the Private Company Financial Reporting Committee. And she says more and more CPAs who work for private companies are ready now for a separate set of standards. I spoke with Judy on the phone recently about the things that may be driving that new mindset. Here's what she had to say. Judy, we've been talking about the pros and cons of separate reporting standards for private companies for, well, it seems like years now, I guess. And now we're hearing that CPAs who work for private companies might be ready to start thinking about two sets of standards and embracing that concept. I guess, first of all, based on your experience, is that accurate? And if so, why that mindset? What's different now that has CPAs thinking that way?
That subject of big gap, little gap, or two sets of gap, or whatever you want to call it, has been around for as long as I've been in the profession, which is going on 40 years. And it waxes and wanes, and as one of the former FASB board members says, it comes up about every 7 years like locusts. But now I think the situation is different. I think we're at what I would call a real tipping point here in this conversation. We have several factors at work, the first being the issuance by the International Accounting Standards Board of their IFRS for small and medium entities. And for those of the listeners that don't know about that document, it is a self-contained set of IFRS designed specifically for private companies, those that do not have public accountability. And that's out there. South Africa has adopted it. The UK is adopting it for its mid-sized private companies. And it's expected to be widely adopted around the world. Some would contend that it is still too complicated for very small emerging economies. And others complain that it is too principles-based and maybe the implementation might be a little bit difficult in that. But that's one thing that's out there. The other is the increasing complexity of GAAP and the fact that the feeling is that investors and analysts, the analyst side, are really driving what's coming out of FASB. And that's understandable given the current economy and the credit crisis. But the standards then filter down to the private company world. The users are saying, stop, wait a minute. We don't need this information. It complicates things. I think FIN 46R confounded the users. The users have said, and FASB actually listened, that some of the disclosures around FIN 48, they didn't need the information. So I think we have users now in the mix saying, you know what, maybe it's time. And the fact that at the recent council meeting, we had the bulk of the people at council, which are really the leaders of the profession, saying, and these are not just practicing CPAs, they're in industry, government, and so forth as well, that it's really time for the AICPA to explore this further, which is another big tipping point. The GAAP purists have said for years we don't need two sets, and Deloitte just did a survey of private companies, and they indicated by a 51% majority that they thought it was time for a separate set of standards. So this is really unprecedented turf, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
If that mindset continues and people keep thinking that this is the way that we ought to go, what are some of the options that are available to us now? You mentioned IFRS for SMEs, are there other options available as far as, getting a separate set of standards?
Right now, private companies have a couple of options. They obviously GAAP. They still and will continue to have, no matter what happens, the ability to report under an income, another comprehensive basis of accounting, whether it's tax or cash. And that's typically where the small mom and pops are going to go and probably stay because the banks are willing to accept it, and in fact, most of the credit decisions for very small companies are made on the basis of tax returns, and there is no real call for GAAP. But the ones that run into some real issues are when you get up to $2 or $3 million in revenue, and all of a sudden the banks are saying they want GAAP financial statements. The AICPA in May of 2008 recognized the International Accounting Standards Board as a body authorized to set GAAP. So right now, private companies could go to full IFRS. or they could adopt the IFRS for small and medium entities, and it would be GAAP. It would not be U.S. GAAP, but it would be GAAP as promulgated by the International Accounting Standards. And there is a question and answer on the AICPA's website, which discusses if you were to adopt the SME document, how that might impact you and what the reporting requirements would be on that. So there is no real separate set of GAAP at this point for private companies other than this SME document. And I think there are two problems that companies see with that. One is that LIFO inventory is not acceptable under IFRS for SME, and there are a lot of private companies in the U.S. that use LIFO inventory. And again, that's going to be a sticking point in full IFRS as well until the IRS maybe resolves that. The other thing is the implementation may prove costly and tricky, and the principles basis of some of those differences between U.S. GAAP and IFRS for SME may not be palatable here in the U.S. So whether that gets widely accepted remains to be seen.
What are we seeing overseas at this point? You mentioned a couple of countries. I think you mentioned South Africa and maybe Great Britain in particular as starting to head down this road. Are any other countries heading in this direction at this point?
The interesting developments are actually in Canada, and Canada public companies are going to go to IFRS in 2011. And their private companies, they had looked at the SME document and they decided not to go that way. They decided to take Canadian GAAP and adopt it for use for private companies. And that exposure document is out there. I haven't seen the final document. I understand it's soon to be on its way. But I think it's very interesting that our closest neighbor and trading partner to the north has decided that this is a good way to go. And I think that, again, sets a precedent here in the U.S. The Australians are working on their own version of GAAP, and, you know, it remains to be seen what the rest of the countries around the world, whether they will adopt the SME document or not.
Of those examples that you mentioned, which ones kind of intrigue you the most? I mean, is it IFRS for SME, or is it a model more like what the Canadians are doing? Which ones have kind of piqued your interest?
It's interesting. Our committee, Private Companies Financial Reporting Committee, which consists of 12 people, 4 users, 4 preparers, and 4 CPA practitioners. And I would say that when we got started 3 years ago, there was a pretty good sentiment against a separate set of GAAP. We were more concerned with tweaking existing GAAP and getting involved early on in projects to make sure that whatever was happening, especially the convergence projects, met the needs of private companies here in the U.S. And more the committee has come to the conclusion that a separate set of GAAP for private companies is a better way to go, especially seeing what Canada has done. It's going to be up to, not our committee, but it's going to be up to either FASB or some other body to really take the lead on this. I think AICPA leadership has gotten a mandate to look at this further and see what some of the answers are. I think companies in the U.S. would be much more comfortable sticking with what they already know and perhaps eliminating some of the complexities that exist in GAAP for private companies.
And I'm not sure if this is something that you can speak to or not, but what are you hearing from the folks at FASB at this point? Do you know at all what they're thinking in this area?
Well, you have to understand that right now their plate is very, very full. You know, the SEC has still to decide or issue any further comments on this roadmap, and they're working like mad to try to complete these convergence projects by their 2011 deadline. Plus, they've got the credit crisis on their hands, which has meant they've had to jump and respond to a lot of the fair value issues and the complexity surrounding that. So I think if you were to talk to Bob Hurst, he would say, hey, there's a lot on my plate right now. But I think it's something that the leadership of the Financial Accounting Foundation is certainly aware of. Jack Brennan, the current chair, who took office earlier this spring, embarked upon a listening tour around the United States, various cities with various constituents, including preparers and users and practitioners, to get some feel on a strategic direction for the Financial Accounting Foundation and ultimately for the FASB. So I think that is definitely on the FAP's radar screen, and we'll see what comes out of the strategic planning process that should be completed sometime this winter.
So given that FASB is dealing with so many issues at this point, is it worth CPA's time, do you think, to contact FASB and let their feelings be known about this issue?
Well, FASB's always interested in comments from its constituents. I mean, you know, the process we have here in the United States is open, transparent. Everything gets a listen, you know, that there might not be, they might not agree with what the comments are, but I can assure you that every comment that walks in the door, even if it's a brief email, gets looked at, gets incorporated in staff thinking. And, you know, while I wouldn't say let's do an email barrage of FASB on this, if someone feels strongly or has some ideas, certainly those ideas should be passed on in an email to the staff director. The other thing that we have going now at FASB is they appointed Jeff Mechanic to be an assistant director working right under Russ Golden, who is the staff director. And Jeff's full responsibility is to make sure that private company and not-for-profit issues get heard at the staff level in Norwalk. And the FASB, there was a press release recently, and FASB is setting up an advisory group for not-for-profit issues similar to the Private Company Financial Reporting Committee. So not-for-profit folks will now have a direct input or a more streamlined input into FASB. And I think that's going to be increasingly important because there is nothing in IFRS that is specifically directed for not-for-profits. And I think the not-for-profit organizations have some concerns that, you know, they like what we've got going here under GAAP for not-for-profits and the guidance and the rules and so forth that are there. So I think that's an important step that FASB has taken.
So what's next? What can we expect to see on this in the near future?
Well, CFRC, we've been working behind the scenes on a lot of these convergence projects, and our commenters and recommendations are on our website at www.pcfr.org. And you'll see that there are a lot of these projects that will impact private companies, liabilities and equity being one of them. The financial statement presentation project will have a big impact on private companies. I think that could also be pushing more people into wanting a separate set of GAAP just because of the complexities of that project if it continues as it is now. So I think people should be aware of it. I don't think there's anything anybody needs to do immediately, but certainly take a look at the SME document and see if it's something that might benefit your company or send an email up to FASB on what you're thinking.
Now, you've had a couple of unique opportunities recently, first of all, to speak to members of the AICPA's Governing Council, and secondly, to speak to MACPA members at one of Tom Hood's professional issues updates recently. What are CPAs that you've talked to thinking about all of this? What sticks out in your mind as you've had these discussions with these different groups?
Just a sense of frustration on the part of the practitioners, and it's very, very difficult to keep up. I know my practice is limited to business valuation and litigation services, so I don't even begin to keep up on the tax and audit side anymore. But there's just so much on. It's very hard to keep up on a day-to-day basis, and it's very frustrating. Out of FASB, difficult to understand and implement, and even the best of practitioners having problems and questions. I heard anecdotally the other day that a company who uses a Big Four firm can't get answers. Their local Big Four firm has to go up to their headquarters to, you know, before any accounting issues can get resolved. And it's pretty bad if a local office of a Big Four firm can't make some accounting determinations. Think of the implications there for the smaller firms. I would just say stay tuned. We'll see what comes of all of this.
Well, Judy O'Dell, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
That was Judy O'Dell, chair of the Private Company Financial Reporting Committee. You can find out more about the committee's work by visiting www.pcfr.org. You'll also find a ton of information and resources about IFRS and IFRS for small and mid-sized companies and a list of CPE programs that focus on international reporting standards on our website. That's www.macpa.org/IFRS.
Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.